today on Bread for the Broken with James Grizzle, pastor of Calvary Chapel, Galveston.
Verse 4 has an interesting, a beautiful little transition. But God. And that's it. But God. Because he paints this picture of like, you were dead because of your sins and your trespasses. You lived. You were driven by your fleshly desires. No self-control. You were in full allegiance with the commander of the powers of the unseen world. That's Satan. You were controlled by him. You were on his team. You're an enemy of God. That's who you were. But God.
In the movie Avengers Endgame, the villain Thanos says a one-liner that always sticks with me. He says the phrase, "I am inevitable." Spoiler alert, after he says that phrase, he ends up losing the fight. Now, this might be a stretch, but just like Thanos, God is inevitable. Throughout history, we see God intervene for his people. Today, Pastor James talks about the statement found in Scripture, "But God." It's God's way of saying, "I am inevitable." God saved you from your sin, and he's given you a hope for tomorrow. Now here's Pastor James in the book of Ephesians chapter 2 with today's edition of Bread for the Broken.
We need bread for the broken. Get some bread to the broken. We need hope for the hopeless. Give some hope to the hopeless, hopeless. Bread for the broken, broken.
I'm not afraid of the devil. I'm not, but I also am not ignorant to his schemes. He works in my life, probably in different ways, maybe some ways similar to you, but then some ways different, because there are certain snares that I'm more prone to step in than you might be. But he knows us. He knows. If you think the enemy doesn't know your life and who you are, then you're ignorant to his schemes. But we don't live in fear of him. But here, this is the truth. Here's the reality. This is, you used to play on this team. You played for this team. So he's the commander of the powers of the unseen world. He is the spirit at work in the hearts of those who refuse to obey God. He's the one at work in their hearts. See, again, you don't need to be ignorant for his scheme. So when you're praying for other people who may not know the Lord, you need to understand the battle you're engaging in and who the enemy is. Because you could just pray like, "Man, Lord, I pray that you would save them." That's a good prayer. Nothing wrong with that prayer. But you could dig a little bit deeper too, can't you? And you understand, wait, there's a lot going on here because Satan is deceiving them. So Lord, what I pray... in this battle, is that he's the spirit at work in their hearts. I pray, Lord, that you would keep him away. That you take those blinders off of their eyes. Whatever work he is doing within their hearts, I pray that you would protect their hearts from him. And Lord, that they would surrender their heart to you so that he no longer has access to their hearts. And this is another good word for us. If you're a believer and you're worried about Satan or some demonic thing taking possession of your heart, it can't do that when that heart is surrendered to Jesus. Okay? I don't know if this is an issue for you or not, but you cannot be demonically possessed if you have surrendered your heart to Jesus. He cannot take what belongs to Jesus. Can't. Can you be oppressed? Yes. Can you be messed with? Yes. Absolutely. But can you be controlled by and possessed? No. No. I'm going to say that emphatically because I know there's circles within the church. I know. I got friends who run in some of these circles and they have these, some services. And I have friends of mine that, individuals that I know anyways, that have this fear. And I would say it's an irrational fear of somehow being possessed by. I'm like, well, doesn't Jesus occupy the throne of your heart? Isn't your body the temple of the Lord? And you're going to tell me that Satan's going to kick him out? How? Show me in the Bible where it says that, because it's not there. It's not there. Can you be messed with? Oh, yes, you can. Can you be controlled? No. No, I'm sorry, but you can't. That should be a comfort for us, right? That should be like, I don't have to worry about that. You don't have to worry about that. Jesus occupies your heart. It's his. You gave it to him, which is another good reason to surrender your heart to Jesus. Give it to him. Give it to him. I want nothing of this sort to ever have tried, you know, any access to me at all. So surrender to Jesus. Surrender to him. But Satan is at work in the hearts of those who refuse to obey God. Verse 3, Paul says, all of us used to live that way. We all used to live this way. To whatever form or fashion or degree, we all once lived this way. Maybe you were just a little bit more sanitized, I guess. You know? It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. Do you guys ever heard testimonies from people, right? You've heard people share their story about how they got saved. Now, this is a funny thing that happens within the church world that we could get somebody up here and they could share their story about how, like, man, I was into this and I was doing this and then now this and this, and they share the story and then Jesus saved me. And then you sitting out there who grew up in Sunday school your whole life, you know, you never done anything bad. And that one time you stole that one thing from the store, you were sobbing uncontrollably and you went back and took it back and all this good stuff. That was the only bad thing you've ever done. And you hear their story and you're like, oh man, what a testimony. I feel bad because they have such a great testimony, right? No, look, you're on the same level. You're on the same level. They were out doing this. You stayed home and did this. And guess what? You both were born sinners. You both were born spiritually dead, and whatever path you chose to go down and all that stuff, it doesn't matter. The thing that matters is the fact, are you saved now? Are you saved now? You got a cool, crazy testimony? Sweet. I'm sure the Lord can use that to bless somebody. The testimonies I think I find myself most impressed with after 20-something years of walking with Jesus are the ones who are like, yeah, just I grew up in church and you know, and then as a young kid, I just gave my life to the Lord and I've been walking with him and serving him ever since. And I'm like, holy cow, that's an amazing testimony. I love that because I didn't do that. I didn't do that. I went the other way, right? I was like, I don't want anything to do with Jesus. I don't want anything to do with church. I don't want to be around Christians. I went that direction. So when I hear somebody say like, no, I remember when I was like 5, I gave my life to Jesus and I haven't looked back ever since. And I'm like, that's the coolest testimony I've ever heard. That's amazing. We're all on the same level, though. We all live this way, whether we're aware of it or not, but we all live this way. We all live contrary to what the Lord had for us. Paul goes on to say, we live this way. We are following the passionate desires and inclinations of our sinful nature. We were just driven and controlled by that, you know, these desires. And then not always bad, so to speak, but you're controlled by your passions. We understand kind of what that dynamic looks like, so to speak, within our lives. Like, I have this urge, and I just indulge in that urge, and there's no real filters, there's no real self-control at all, and oftentimes we go 100% into some of these things, the good and the bad. But that's how we lived our lives. We were just driven by that. By our very nature, he goes on to say, by our very nature, we were subject to God's wrath or his anger. Just like everybody else, because his wrath or his anger will be poured out upon sin. But this is what he's doing for us, because Paul sets the table, so to speak, of like, all right, so let me just remind you, this is who you were, past tense. This is who you were. Verse 4 has an interesting, a beautiful little transition. But God. And that's it. But God. Because he paints this picture of like, you were dead because of your sins and your trespasses. You lived. You were driven by your fleshly desires. No self-control. You were in full allegiance with the commander of the powers of the unseen world. That's Satan. You were controlled by him. You were on his team. You're an enemy of God. That's who you were. But God. I love that. Every time I see that, it's highlighted. It's underlined. There's a star right next to it. Because I need to be reminded of what he has done. I know who I was before Jesus. I know that. You know who you were before Jesus. I don't need to be reminded of that, so to speak. It's good to go back sometimes. What I need to be reminded of more often than anything else is this, but what did he do? What was the solution? The solution was God stepped in. It says, but God is so rich in mercy, and he loved us so much that even though we were dead because of our sins, he gave us life when he raised Christ from the dead. In parentheses here, it says, it is only by God's grace that you've been saved. Well, there you go. And all he's doing is creating this beautiful artwork, right? Now, if you were to walk up to Paul, if he was like one of these artists on a street, and he's painting this picture, and you walk up to the very beginning of it, you may be looking at him throwing some paint on the canvas and doing this, and you're like, well, that doesn't look all that impressive, right? He's just getting started. Maybe he's starting with the dark tones first and all this stuff. It just looks kind of messy. But if you stick around long enough, you begin to see the beauty. You begin to see the beauty. It's the same for you and I. The beginning looks a little messy. It's not all that impressive. Kind of a mess. It really is a mess. But if you wait, if you just wait a little bit, you begin to see the beauty. You begin to see the beauty come through. And the beauty of the artwork will never be you and I. It will always be him. It will always be him. The credit doesn't go to the piece of art. The credit goes to the artist, if you know anything about art. We don't praise artwork. We may admire artwork, and some people will pay a lot of money for artwork, but the credit always goes to the artist. That's how it is. Because without the artist, you have no artwork. You have nothing to be awed about or inspired by. That is what you are. Your canvas. And in fact, I'm going to prove it to you at the end of this little section. You are a canvas that is actively being painted on, so to speak. And God is the artist. He's the artist. He's so rich in mercy. He loved us so much. Even though we were dead because of our sins, he gave us life when he raised Christ from the dead. It is only by God's grace that you have been saved. There is no credit. You cannot take credit at all for your salvation. Zip, zero, nada. Nada. Only by grace. Verse 6, he says, for he raised us from the dead along with Christ and seated us as believers with him in the heavenly realms because we are united with Jesus. So actively, if you can process this, actively, if you are in Christ, you're presently seated with him in the heavenly realms. You're like, can I feel that today? Is there any way where I can get like just a slight little feeling of that today? Like, how does this work? I don't know. There's probably something to do with the time-space continuum and how God can see the beginning at the end all at the same time. And there's no like, can't wait for you to get to heaven. Like, God's outside of time and space, you're already there. Outside of time and space, which God does not subject it to time and space. I hope we understand this. He created time and space. He is not subjected to it. He is the king of it, the inventor of it, outside of it. So technically, he can see the creation of the world and the end of it all at the same time. He can see your birth into this planet and you seated with Jesus in heaven at the same time. That's like trippy stuff. It like can blow your mind. If you think about it too much, your mind can start hurting, right? You're like, what? What? Look, here's what we do with this, okay? Because you may be thinking like, how in the world am I supposed to figure this out? I don't think you're supposed to figure it out. I think the purpose of this is to encourage you, that the difficulties you are going through in this life will not keep you from getting to where he has you already. You're headed there. If Jesus is your Lord and Savior, heaven is your guarantee. Heaven is your reality. Eternity with Jesus is absolutely guaranteed. You will make it to him. You will make it to him. This life may be difficult. This life may be super challenging. This life, it may feel like I'm walking through hell to get to heaven. Yeah, I get it sometimes. But you're there. You've made it, so to speak. You don't have to walk around with this fear of like, I don't think I'm going to make it. No, you already did because he did. Your identity is in Christ. He's seated at the right hand of the Father. He's there. You'll be there. You will make it through this life. I don't know how. I don't know how many scars and scrapes and all that stuff. You may be smelling like smoke when you get there, but you're there. That's the hope for eternity. That's the hope that's been made available to you and I, that you can make it through this life because your future is already set. It's already been sealed. It's done. It's solved. You don't have to worry about that. You don't have to worry about that anymore. What you focus in on now, that's done. So you focus, this frees you up to focus in on today and the great commission he has called you to participate with him in today. There's work to be done today. You're not there, so to speak, presently yet, but it's guaranteed because of Jesus. Simply because of Jesus. That should be a load off of our shoulders. I'm not trying to work to get to heaven. Nothing I do is going to get me there. It's my surrender to Jesus that guarantees my spot there. So that's done. That's sealed. You book the tickets in advance. You're going. You're going. So enjoy today. Live for him today. Live for him today. That's the amazing thing about Jesus. I don't know about you guys, but I can get into these modes where I function as if like I'm just trying to be, you know, diligent and do all this stuff. And somehow in the back of my mind thinking like, I just hope they don't sell out in heaven. You know, I hope I don't get to those doors and it's all sold out. We're sold out. You should have bought your tickets in advance, right? It's like, no, you already did that. Okay. You were one of the smart ones. You did that. If Jesus is your Lord and Savior, you pre-purchased your ticket, so to speak. You don't have to worry about it. The stress has been taken off. So live for him today. The past is handled. The past is covered. It may have been a mess. That's fine. That's fine. It'll be a part of the grand picture when he's finished with whatever work he's doing in your life. Past is settled. The future is settled so that you can be free to live today. Live today for Jesus. I'm not worried about my past. I'm not worried about my future. So now I'm freed up to live today for Jesus. That's, I think, the point. At least for today, that's the point. So that you can be free. He's guaranteed a place for you simply because of what he's done. And if you just receive that gift, it's by grace that you've been saved. And he's even going to elaborate on that a little bit more. He did all the work. He did all the work. Christians should be the freest people on this planet. Emotionally, mentally, spiritually for sure, we should be so free. It's done, guys. It's done. The work's done. Just live for him. And that's all he wants. That's all he's asking. And just hang out with me and just do what I say. That's all I want. That's all he wants. What a great arrangement. You couldn't ask for a better deal. There's no like, okay, you got to do this. You got to do your good works and you better hope in the end of it all, your good works outweigh your bad works. Oh my goodness, I couldn't handle the stress of that. There's no way. Praise God for what he's done for us. He did the work. He raised us from the dead along with Christ, seated us with him in the heavenly realms because we are united with Christ Jesus. Again, it's that thing. It's positionally. We are in Christ. Verse 7, so God can point to us in all future ages as examples. What in the world? Yeah. Yes. He wants to use you as an example. Of what? How cool and how awesome you are? No. Of how much grace he has for humanity. Okay? Exactly how rich his mercy is. That's why you're an example. You're like, oh man, I thought it was like some big deal. You're not. I mean, you're great. You're fantastic. You're created by God. That's a big deal. That's awesome. He wants to use your life as an example. He says, in future ages, as an example of what? The incredible wealth of his grace and kindness toward us, as shown in all he has done for us who are united with Christ Jesus. So this is the work he is doing in and through us. He's using you as an example. So everybody's story matters. They just may all look different. But God can use whatever he's done in your life, whatever your story is, he can use that to minister to other people. The point of that is so that his grace and his mercy is magnified. I mean, that's it. And if there's any like things, and I get it, people will see some of this stuff, and it was me. It was me before Jesus. It was that thing of like, I don't want to go to church. Why? Because the church is full of hypocrites, right? Because the ones who are showing up on Sunday were partying with me on Saturday and Friday nights. So it's just hypocrites. And I get it. And my response to that now would be like, well, man, you should have seen me before Jesus though, right? Like, I mean, my hypocrisy was at a whole nother level before Jesus, okay? So yeah, are we messed up? Oh, totally. Absolutely. Are we perfect? Nobody's perfect. Nobody is. But you should have known me before Jesus. I mean, you got complaints about me now. You should have known me then. My goodness. And all of this is just to testify of how good his grace is. And that's it. He wants to point to us, to you as an individual, as an example of his grace and his mercy. That's what he's doing actively right now within you. It's amazing. So whatever your story is, it matters because the Lord, that's his medium. That's the choice that he's using to paint this beautiful picture. This canvas that is you, God is using all this stuff to paint this beautiful picture that just magnifies his grace and his mercy and his love. And we as the canvas look down and we're like, I don't know, Lord. I don't know. It just looks like a mess. It looks like one of those weird, trippy things made in like in the 90s where it's like so out of focus, but if you cross your eyes or something, then somehow this spaceship comes out and like, I don't get that art at all, but it's like, that's kind of what my life looks like. And he's like, well, just wait. Because you're technically a masterpiece. Technically, you're a masterpiece. Not to puff you up or anything, but it's what the Bible says. It's what the Bible says. Verse 8, concerning a little bit more of this work that's done in us, it says, God saved you by his grace when you believed, by grace through faith. Even the faith wasn't created by you. It was given to you. He selected you before the foundation of the world. He chose you before the foundation of the world. So when it came time for you to say that big yes to Jesus, that surrender to Jesus, he gave you the faith to do that. So as you're praying for your loved ones, you say, Lord, give them the faith to believe. Give them the faith to believe in you. Because it's by grace, through faith. The New Living Translation goes on to say, and you can't take credit for this. The other translations would say it's by grace through faith so that you can't brag or boast about it. It's taken away. How amazing. Let me tell you how awesome I am. No. Let me tell you how wretched I am and how amazing God is. The only reason my eternity is set and sure and I know where I'm going is simply because of the work that he did on the cross, through the grave, seated at the right hand of the Father. It is by his grace, his unmerited favor, through faith, you can't take credit for it. And it goes, he even says, it's a gift. It's a gift from God. Salvation, it's a free gift from God. If you're still dead in your sins and trespasses, the beautiful thing about this whole portion of scripture, as Paul starts off there and he kind of lands the plane, so to speak, here, it's a gift that's still available.
You've been listening to Bread for the Broken with Pastor James Grizzle. We're so glad that you joined us in his study through the book of Ephesians. Although scripture may sometimes seem unrelatable because it took place thousands of years ago, that couldn't be further from the truth. God is still living and active today, and his Spirit is present and seeking those who will believe. And if you let him, God can do incredibly powerful things through you for the kingdom. So the questions we'll leave you with today are, will you say yes to what God is doing, and will you trust him to move today just as he did all those years ago? If you'd like to listen to today's teaching again or hear more like it from Pastor James, you can visit breadforthebroken.com and click on the Teachings tab. We would love to hear from you too, so would you let us know how you've been blessed by Bread for the Broken? You can drop us a note through the contact page on our website. And while you're there, you'll also be able to learn more about the church behind this ministry, Calvary Chapel in Galveston. Hey, if you live in the area, you should come visit. For directions, service times, and to learn more about us, just visit breadforthebroken.com. We hope we'll see you soon. Until then, we encourage you to read ahead and study the book of Ephesians on your own. Allow the Lord to speak to you in new and revealing ways. There's still much to learn from Ephesians. So stay tuned for the next Bread for the Broken.
Let me paint the picture of you, man.